Homeland Security officials and their many constituencies are wondering how Congress will resolve the department's budget tug of war. Secretary Jay Johnson has testified a funding lapse would result in 30,000 furloughs. Another fallout would be a slowdown in cybersecurity spending. For more on that possibility, we turn to Matt Hummer, Director of Analytics at the data firm Govini. He joins me now in studio. Matt, good morning.
Hey, Tom. How you doing?
All right. So you are a refugee from Bloomberg, and now you're at Govini.
I am. It's good to be back in the city.
All right. So let's talk about cybersecurity. First of all, it's a big word. And so when people talk about cyber spending, what are they really talking about? What constitutes cybersecurity and therefore the spending on it?
Tom, yes, that's a great question. I think really what it comes down to is following the money. At Govini, a big data analytics firm, we're able to do exactly that. And we find that by doing that, it's indicative of how cyber spending should be categorized and communicated to the market. But at the same time, your point is valid. Policymakers and companies that are in the industry have been really struggling to understand what is cyber.
I guess it's a combination maybe of product and services, correct?
Yes, that's correct. The way we look at it, we've actually broken down cybersecurity into 11 categories, everything from that cover the three mission critical areas that the Department of Defense has an obligation to serve on. That's really protecting our networks and data.
You mean Homeland Security? I guess DOD has that too.
DOD too, right. Protecting networks and data, and then granting the people access to that those networks and data. And then, of course, responding and recovering from any high-risk cyber attack. So our 11 categories kind of fall within the purview of those three main mission areas.
And do we know the extent of DHS's own spending on all of those things?
Yeah, certainly. So some of the things we've actually taken a look at are within those 11 categories, very interesting trends that our listeners would love to hear about. The first is, over the last 4 years, taking a look at one of the categories that fall under protecting the networks and data. It's called vulnerability and threat management. And spend in that category has actually increased 33% over the last 4 years. Another very similar category, boundary defense, that entails actually quarantining off the government networks from public networks. And spending in that category has actually increased 16%. Those are two areas the Department of Homeland Security has direct purview over. But an interesting thing that I want to just really briefly touch on, if you look at just spending in those two categories over the last 2 years, that growth has begun to slow, which suggests to me that maybe the government has actually found a way to plug the holes in its fence, so to speak.
And looking at 2016 in the proposals, do you see growth in those areas, in those particular areas?
Definitely. So the president has proposed a $1 billion increase for cyber, and total IT spending is rising to about $86.4 billion, and cyber would be about $14 billion. And within the cyber spend, Department of Homeland Security accounts for nearly 8% of that total.
All right, so it's not actually the majority of the market then. I mean, it's really a scattered or a diverse market for contractors trying to sell cyber services and cyber products to the federal government.
It definitely is, but the trend is moving towards concentration within some of these larger agencies. So a lot of the problem that the administration is facing is there's so many cyber risks spread throughout agencies, and they're trying to concentrate them through shared services within larger agencies.
And it's a year since the NIST framework for cybersecurity came out. And so if someone is trying to understand the nature of the market and what the government might want, do you need to understand that? Or, where does the policy and the types of products and services that result from that policy, where does that all originate?
So that originates from the president's executive order from a couple of years ago. He mandated that that agencies work together to develop this framework. And that framework actually identifies and categorizes what cybersecurity is. And our definition of what cybersecurity aligns with that. And part of the president's initiative of starting this new National Cyber Intelligence Integration Center is going to actually be focusing on that NIST framework, ensuring that framework is rolled out across all of the federal agencies.
So that it's called the TIC, right? The, mm-hmm. the new center. So that is concerned with federal networks themselves, the government itself.
That's right. So that new center that was announced on Tuesday, it's an interagency. It's the National Cyber Threat and Intelligence Integration Center. And their main job is to just do is just coordinate all the cyber intelligence among all the agencies, FBI, DHS, all of the ones. And I think the goal for them and for our listeners to understand what type of contracts might come from that establishment of the new agencies, it seems to me that they're not actually going to be taking on intelligence or cyber collection. It's just going to be more of integration. So if I were looking to get ahead of the contract spend on this, the creation of this new agency, I would focus on business support services, and then also systems integration, potentially.
Interesting. So not so much products as services. That's a service play.
Yeah, it's probably going to be a service play because what's been communicated to the public so far about this agency, that it's not going to be a big operation. It's just going to be more of a coordinator. And what that means is just going to have to span integration across all the agencies and be ready to analyze a ton of cyber intelligence.
All right, we're speaking with Matt Hummer. He's director of analytics at the data firm Govini. And the president is in Silicon Valley today, or he'll be there, he will be there today, talking about private sector cybersecurity and data sharing with the government and among members of a given industry. What's going on there, and what do you think we can expect from that executive order that he's purported to be signing later on?
Right. This has kind of been a long time coming. I think the administration has always wanted to rope in the private sector, and clearly a lot of the private sector cyber attacks with Target and, of course, JP Morgan, some of the other big banks, and, of course, Sony as of late, they've learned a lot, and they face this challenge every day. They're publicly traded, high-profile companies that know and understand these risks, and they also have a lot of information that can be shared. So the main priority of the president is to go to Palo Alto in around the Bay Area where we're headquartered and talk to the private sector. People have very strong experience like Apple, Google, Facebook, Oracle in defending against this cyber attack and to leverage their experience to address this very, very large problem.
So he's going to establish these voluntary information sharing kind of, groups or collections of companies that can voluntarily join to share information. Is there any contracting opportunity in that, especially if they decide they want to also share, say, all the Sonys of the world or all the Home Depots and their like ilk, and they want to share that data with Homeland Security? Nobody has to yet, right, but it's strongly encouraged. Right. What does that mean for spending?
Yeah, that's actually a good point, one that I didn't really think about. You know, if this actually initiative does go forward, there's going to have to be some mechanisms to actually collect information from the private sector, ones that are transparent and open to the public. So that could be definitely an area of spending. But right now, I think the president is just really focusing on leveraging the private sector's experience in some key areas. It would be evaluation and payment credentials, those types of things. Would focus on that and allow the private sector to develop that technology, and so the public sector could actually leverage it. So that's what he's focused on, and that has to do with a very significant category that the government has purview over.
And that all smears out into other peripheral areas like two-factor authentication, mm-hmm, and the systems to enable that.
Right.
And, replacing the CAC card with, mm-hmm, tokens on your phone. I mean, there's a lot of ways cybersecurity is smearing out. So to get back to the president's budget and his request for 2016, I read there's a $35 billion cyber request in there, but there's no one line that says this is cybersecurity. What does Govini show as total cyber spending of the 11 categories that you cover?
Yeah, so cyber spending is about a $10 billion market, actually, through contracts. And so that's a very high percentage of what the budget is.
So the addressable part by industry.
The addressable part, right. And so some of the largest parts are this threat and detection management, one huge contract within DHS, is the Continuous Diagnostic and Mitigation Program, right, a huge vehicle that was just let this past year.
And who are some of the contractors on that one?
Yeah, sure. So there's two main programs. There's CDM and CMAS, and there's two task areas. And so the first task area has already been awarded. Hardware providers, their job is to really go out and assess which hardware are on networks that are actually not meeting standards. And so those providers are Dell, HP, IBM, or sorry, just HP and IBM. And then, of course, there's other services-related companies like Booz Allen that have been awarded. Lockheed Martin has been awarded, and of course Northrop, some of the big names. And so, given their presence and their innovation around cybersecurity, they're the ones that are most in the greatest position to actually do well and provide services to government. Which, and also to mention, they are also publicly traded, so it might be a good idea for investors to take note to the fact that there's $10 billion a year going to these publicly traded companies.
Not too bad. And you mentioned Dell is not part of the initial, but are they in that business, the Dell software piece?
They definitely are. It's just so far right now on this one task area, it was HP and IBM that were the notables.
All right. So overall then, it looks like growth in cyber spending across the federal government.
That's correct, Tom.
All right. Any other advice for people that want to try to get at that market? Because you mentioned a couple of big companies that have a lock on the early contracts for like the CDM and the CMAS. Mm-hmm. Interestingly, by the way, John Streifert, Mr. Continuous Monitoring, is leaving the government. Mm-hmm. Who knows where he'll end up? But what should people do if they want to kind of break in at this point when you're competing with the HPs and the Booz Allens?
Right. Yeah, that's a great question. And I think the key strategy there is, you know, there is these core cyber areas and these big contract vehicles that the big names get on. But there's also small things that the agencies are starting to do, plan out their cyber strategies. That's a lot of small consulting firms that can do that. Take note to what the agencies are putting out on their Exhibit 53s and their Exhibit 300s, which are their capital investment plans for IT. You can also think around shared services. There's a lot of services interagency and between agencies that are duplicative. So finding a way to convince an agency that they need to migrate to another service that your company actually had a role in standing up. So that's some strategies we're seeing being pursued by some folks out there, and it seems to be working pretty well.
All right. Good advice from Matt Hummer, Director of Analytics at the data firm Govini. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks, Sam. Good to be here.